Just walking here with Brendan Pettigrew from Newman's in Rugby. Brendan, you have been a self-employed agent since 2012, which must be one of the longest self-employed agents in the UK.
The
You must have been one
first.
of Sean Newman's first
It
ones.
was the first one.
Excellent. What I'd like to do is roll the clock back and talk about your life as an estate agent and the reasons why you became a self-employed agent, your fears, your frustrations, your hopes, and your dreams, where you are now and where your future is. How does that sound? Is that
Sounds,
okay?
yeah, fine.
And the reason we're doing this video is to basically help the UK estate agency profession open their eyes to this so they can make the right decision for them, because it's not for everyone, is it?
It isn't, no.
No, good stuff. Right, let's kick off. So when did you first become an estate agent?
Well, I started off as a photocopy boy at Connells.
What year was this?
20. I don't know the year now. All I know is it's actually it's 27 years ago.
27 years ago, so
Yeah,
that was 1992.
wow,
No,
yeah.
1993. They weren't. That wasn't a good year for estate agency.
Well, I didn't know. I was doing
No. And were you pretty good at
the
pressing the button?
photocopying. Yeah, and then taking the call.
Oh, then sticking the photographs on as
That's it,
well.
yeah.
Can
Back
you
in
remember
those
putting the
days,
photos on there?
black and
They were.
white photocopies out to viewings, yeah. If you'd have told me then that now I would be shooting films and flying helicopters over houses, I would have thought that you'd gone spare.
Okay, so how long were you at Connells for?
I was at Connells for, well, I've been at Newman's for 17 years, so 10 years.
Okay, so you must, so you joined 93, so you're at Connells. So what did you do at Connells? Did you go all the way through from junior neg, neg,
Yeah.
valuer? Did you get your own branch at that point?
Yes, yeah, trainee neg, they call them negotiators, even though there's very limited negotiation in that role. That meant doing the viewings,
Yes.
basically. Then negotiator, senior negotiator. There's like loads of little rungs of the ladder. Then branch manager, board of management partner, which is a glorified branch manager, but
With a nice title.
with a nice title and a profit share as well, a small
What
percentage.
did you
So,
enjoy about working for Connells?
What I enjoyed about working for Connells was I was the manager who basically did all the valuations, they used to call them. And all of the sales negs used to book in the viewings and basically do all of my buyer registering and things like that. So I enjoyed the role because it was something that I loved to do, valuing houses, meeting clients, hearing stories, but none of the stuff that takes
Brilliant.
time.
What made you change from being a fancy pants branch manager with a nice title, a bit of a profit share, to moving over to Newman's in 02, 03?
It wasn't a self-employed role or anything at Newman's back then, but they had a certain swagger to them. All of their staff used to pass the windows. I was market leader, if that's important to anyone now, but it was important back then. And the month that they overtook me, because they had 20 staff in there versus my five, I thought, right, okay. Instead of trying to beat them, join them. And I'd been approached from one of my friends who ran the Newman branch, who I gave a job to, John Hamford, and he said, "Well, I could do with you running Leamington." So that all came together.
So how was it? So 2002, 2003, those are pretty good years in estate agency, running at the Royal Leamington Spa
Yeah.
branch. Good times.
Well, look. Everybody asks me, how's the market? And they say, oh, prices are going up, and they think it's relevant to me. It's not relevant. Transactions are relevant to me. House prices go up and down. But in those times, the house market, if you look at the price increases, I mean, some years were increasing by 20%.
20%.
Some years we had to change the price of a property up while we were selling it, which is just mental.
So you were making hay, you were enjoying life.
Yeah.
2006, 2007, nice car, nice family, that sort of thing, everything going really well.
Stuff. No family.
Okay.
Was obsessed with stuff and fast cars and it's
And the rest
when,
you wasted.
yeah. Yeah, the rest I wasted on wives and no. But yeah, no, it's yeah, it's just the phase
And you
that
were
I went
enjoying
through.
life at that point.
Yeah.
Good stuff. How old were you this? So that was 2006, 2007. How old were you then?
Well, I'm 43 now. So.
Okay, so you're 33, doing quite well for yourself. And then the credit crunch hit.
We were over in Las Vegas with Habitat for Humanity, building homes and for homeless people over there. It's just this thing that we used to do when we went to the National Association of Realtors every year. And then we heard that the credit crunch had hit, and everyone knows it hit because the news story started to come out. Mortgage lending was virtually pulled. The tide went out for buyers, and I don't think we sold more than a handful of houses for about 3 months.
I can remember it well, mate. Tough times.
Yeah, mental.
So what actually happened? You were a well-paid branch manager of Royal Leamington Spa.
I think I was just about area director then.
All right, fair goes then.
Yeah.
You had branches full of people, because you said before that they were just full of staff. What actually happened to the estate agency?
Well, when you say branches full of people, let's put some perspective in. In Coventry, there must have been 900 people, mortgage advisors, you know, estate agents, all the admin staff as well. The old traditional sort of the setup. When you have that many
mouths to feed?
Yes. On basic salaries, and the suddenly the tide goes out, and suddenly you're left with a lot of outgoings, then obviously you need to make some pretty big decisions in terms of how to protect the business, how to protect the money within.
So what actually happened with, I mean, Sean, the figurehead of the firm, and you were his area director, what did you have to do?
We had to reduce the staff.
What, redundancy? Did you have to do that?
I had the consultation meetings.
I've done that. It's not a pretty job, is it?
No.
How did that make you feel?
How did it make me feel? You lose sleep. You feel sick. It's not. I'm still a little bit, you know, emotional about it now. It's not a good job.
So you made your colleagues, almost some would be friends, redundant, which is not a good thing. I've been there, and it still hurts. What about you? Did you keep your job? As an employee?
Did I keep my job? No. I was the first of the new era of managers. I was the first manager to go self-employed as well.
Okay, so how the hell was that sold to you? It's sold is a phrase. You know, there's a guy here basically.
Easy.
What was it kind of sold to you on the basis of you have to make all these people redundant, and if but I want to keep you, but if you want to carry on, you're going to have to go self-employed.
Okay.
Was it kind of sold that way?
Marketed. There's a package for being self-employed. There's your performance that you can be confident of delivering. And if you can deliver that performance, then really, if you're self-employed, you'll be able to earn more.
Okay. Was it an easy decision to make?
Not with a mortgage.
Okay, so you were married at this point? What did, were you?
No, I was in a long relationship.
Did you have a joint mortgage at the time? No.
It was all on me.
But how did that make you feel, that you basically were kind of, it was almost Hobson's choice, wasn't it?
Look, any risk or major worry, it affects every bone in your body. But you push through and you deal with it, and you just get your teeth stuck into what's in front of you that
day. Did you have any sleepless nights about it?
I still do.
But you're really successful.
That can go.
So how do you alleviate that? How do you ensure that each day you get up that you're going to perform?
You have to still follow a process, and you have to still put the yards in.
But valuers aren't very good at process. They're very good on the sofa being able to convert.
Yeah. Well, they might not be, suited to running their own business, but you have to learn that discipline and really just take care of the small stuff.
Which office are you running now? Royal Leamington Spa.
Well, I'm in Leamington, but yes. Obviously I run all the Newman agents.
But you still go out and do your own properties?
That's why I went back over to Leamington. I tried the ivory tower of telling agents what to do. This is how it should be done. And decided that wasn't the way to coach people. The way to coach people is to show them how to do it and share it with them.
So you're telling me that your daytime job is actually being a proper agent, walking the walk and talking the talk,
yeah,
while still having responsibility for all the other self-employed agents in the office,
yeah,
to ensure that they're pulling their weight as well.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're spinning lots of plates there.
Does it sound like I'm spinning lots of plates? It's easier, knowing what I know now, to be able to share what I do with them and them see that it works. That's the better way to manage.
I mean, if you're responsible for the new guys coming in, you know, I know for a fact that not every single person that's joined you has stayed. What do the ones that do stay and are successful do versus the others that don't and vice versa?
They follow the process that works for me, or that has worked for Sean. Look, Sean's been a great input to ideas that I follow, and I'm sure that I've been a great inspiration for things that he's taken on board as well. So we've shared what good looks like,
okay,
and we've come up with a blueprint to say, look, if you follow this and put in the yards, then you will be successful, unless you go around insulting people.
How bad does it make you feel when someone doesn't follow the system?
How bad does it make me feel?
Disappointed?
It doesn't make me feel bad. It just makes me feel that it wasn't right for them. Now,
you see, there's going to be plenty of agents out there who are worried that self-employed isn't for them. And I don't care whether they join You Lot, Fine and Country, EXP, Keller Williams. Mm. There's others out there. What would you say to someone who probably hasn't got any money in the bank but wants to go self-employed?
Well, first of all, you need to be serious about it. And if you are serious about going self-employed and owning your own business, then you need to start looking at not going on your holiday, or, you know,
upgrading your next phone.
Yeah, exactly.
What, I'm getting almost like 2 or 3 months worth of money just to keep you by?
Find a way.
Depends how much you want it, isn't it?
Everything is.
Interesting. What final thought would you say to someone who's set on the fence saying, do I jump, do I not?
Well, if you don't want things to change around you, then sit on the fence. If you're confident that you're a good estate agent, when I say a good estate agent, I just mean a good, you know, general person who wants to help people, who can work to a structure. Mm. If you think you're that guy, then you could be earning 4, 5, 6 times what you're currently seeing.
Okay. And are you happier?
It's the best period of my life now. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I've got my business, I'm doing what I love, and I know it's going to work because I'm prepared to put that work in, and I wouldn't look back. This is the best period of my life.